a Tetris player reaches level 34, a feat that seemed impossible just years ago. Not through genetic mutation or superhuman reflexes, but because YouTube changed everything. When players could finally watch champions in action, techniques like hypertapping spread like wildfire, shattering records that had stood for decades. This reveals something profound. Improvement isn't mysterious. It follows patterns we can understand and harness. Three forces shape every learning journey: the ability to see what excellence looks like, the discipline to do deliberate practice, and the wisdom to extract feedback from reality. When aligned, these forces create rapid progress. When blocked, even tireless effort leads nowhere. Consider Edward Thorndike's subjects drawing lines 3,000 times without improvement because they lacked feedback, or the Navy's Top Gun program that improved fighter pilot performance sixfold through simulated combat with detailed reviews. Most of us fall between these extremes, navigating environments with both obstacles and opportunities. Despite fears that AI will make human learning obsolete, history suggests otherwise. Technological change creates demand for new skills rather than eliminating them. Why did Fermat's last theorem stump mathematicians for 350 years? Problem solving is navigating a maze where you know the start and destination, but must discover the path between. The solution space is often impossibly vast. A Rubik's Cube has over 43 quintillion configurations, and mathematical proofs navigate infinitely larger spaces. Andrew Wiles finally solved Fermat's puzzle by connecting it to elliptic curves and modular forms, finding a path others missed. We cope with this vastness through satisficing, accepting good enough solutions, and using knowledge to constrain our search. Experience transforms problems into routines. When specific knowledge fails, we use universal strategies: generate and test, means-ends analysis, planning, and hill climbing. These weak methods work across domains, but lack expertise's power to shrink the problem space. Finding the right problem representation matters as much as the search itself. The nine-dot puzzle demonstrates this. If the correct answer is excluded from your initial framing, even exhaustive search fails. Real-world problem solving involves switching between searching and reframing until something clicks. Renaissance masters like Da Vinci spent years copying masterworks before developing distinctive styles. This works because our working memory holds only about 7 items simultaneously. When testing algebra problems, students who studied worked examples paired with practice problems vastly outperformed the problem-solving group on novel questions, 75% success versus zero, despite spending only one-third the training time. Problem-solving creates cognitive load that crowds out learning capacity. By studying examples first, beginners bypass this bottleneck, focusing mental resources on understanding patterns rather than struggling with procedures. Complex skills benefit most from worked examples because they require integrating many unfamiliar elements simultaneously. Each brushstroke involves considerations of hue, saturation, value, perspective, lighting, and size, far exceeding our cognitive capacity. However, as expertise develops, the ideal approach changes. The expertise reversal effect shows that while beginners benefit from worked examples, advanced students gain more from practice. To apply these insights, seek worked examples when facing complex new subjects, reorganize confusing materials to avoid split attention, use pre-training on difficult components, and introduce complexity gradually. Helen Keller's breakthrough came when Anne Sullivan spelled water into her palm under flowing water, revealing that everything had a name. This foundation enabled Keller to graduate from Radcliffe College, write 12 books, and master multiple languages. Reading ability exemplifies this bootstrapping effect. Stronger early reading correlates with higher later intelligence scores. Yet, reading challenges many because it requires mastering arbitrary symbols and developing phonological awareness. Research shows systematic phonics instruction produces better outcomes than guessing words from context. Benjamin Bloom's two sigma problem demonstrated that tutoring can raise achievement by 2 standard deviations above average. Mastery learning breaks curriculum into cycles of teaching, practice, and feedback until students succeed. Motivation depends heavily on self-efficacy, our belief in our capability to perform specific actions. The most powerful influence is personal mastery, directly experiencing success. Early successes build efficacy expectations that generalize to related situations and create resilience against occasional failures, establishing a virtuous cycle where achievement fuels further motivation. Rosalind Franklin's X-ray crystallography mastery was crucial to discovering DNA structure. She instantly spotted flaws in models and produced exquisite diffraction photographs through intuitive techniques she couldn't articulate. Dutch psychologist Adriaan de Groot discovered chess masters don't calculate more moves ahead. They recognize better initial moves through pattern recognition. Masters quickly recreate complex board positions from memory, but only natural configurations. Scrambled boards eliminate their advantage. Gary Klein's firefighter research revealed similar intuition. Under pressure, experts use recognition-primed decisions, automatically applying solutions from past situations rather than comparing options. Experts struggle as teachers because their intuition generates correct answers without articulating the process, the curse of knowledge. This explains why apprenticeship remains crucial for mastery. Over half of American Nobel laureates worked under another laureate, gaining tacit knowledge essential for elite achievement. To extract knowledge from experts, focus on stories rather than direct advice, particularly challenging incidents that reveal knowledge they consider too obvious to mention. Octavia Butler's journey from poverty to celebrated science fiction author illustrates the power of optimal challenge. Her breakthrough came at the Clarion Workshop, where established authors provided feedback while students wrote a new story nightly. Despite her success, writing never became easier because she continually tackled harder problems. Not all difficulties enhance learning. Problems become counterproductive when they exceed capabilities. However, desirable difficulties improve outcomes. Active retrieval strengthens memory more than passive review, while spaced practice distributes learning over time, improving long-term retention. These difficulties work by preventing mental shortcuts. The brain won't store information it doesn't need repeatedly. Finding optimal challenge levels is central to learning theories, from Vygotsky's zone of proximal development to Kinch's zone of learnability. Three strategies help fine-tune difficulty. Workshop environments provide structured feedback and accountability. The copy-complete-create progression bridges passive study and independent creation. And scaffolding temporarily reduces problem complexity. Thomas Edison's 1,093 patents were so vital that turning off electricity for 2 minutes at his death would have caused chaos. While Leonardo da Vinci completed fewer than 24 works, Pablo Picasso produced over 13,000 paintings. Research confirms the Picasso model. The world's most successful innovators are typically the most prolific. Psychologist Dean Simonton proposes an equal odds baseline. Once someone begins contributing original work, each attempt has roughly equal potential for world-changing impact. Three factors explain this. First, creativity requires expertise. Herbert Simon called it thinking writ large, relying on ordinary problem-solving mechanisms. Second, creativity depends on environment. Francis Bacon suggested his contributions were a birth of time rather than of wit, showing how cultural context determines which ideas gain acceptance. Third, creativity involves randomness. Donald Campbell proposed that creative thinking resembles natural selection, blind variation with selective retention. Penicillin, saccharin, superglue, Teflon, and Viagra were all discovered serendipitously. Your progress isn't limited by talent, but by whether you've created conditions for learning to flourish. The most creative people aren't necessarily the most talented, but the most prolific. Small improvements compound into transformative change when you align the forces that make improvement inevitable.